like a salary cap type with athletic departments paying it. I don't know that you're going to get back to the old ways of doing things where they'll be, all right.
Somebody's going to figure out a way around
to the letter of the law with the salary cap, but then booster money back to being under the table. And who knows? Who knows?
It's the old song. It's the Wild Wild West.
Sure is. But here of late, it's helped Illinois basketball, so you do have that. We'll talk more Illinois hoops as we go along. We're also going to have Aaron Henry, 4:30.
Yeah,
defensive coordinator, talk spring ball, get his latest thoughts. There have been a few portal additions recently.
To get down to a...
Is that right?
I don't know
if Zach Toby was one that they wanted, though.
I doubt it.
Anyways, a lot more to talk to. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Request of the university's president, who said protesters had broken a long list of rules. This student says the protests were scary.
You're walking by your fellow students. All of us recognize people who we go to class with every day who are calling for our genocide. They're all calling for us and our family members to be murdered.
Florida Senator Rick Scott says many colleges and universities aren't doing enough to prevent anti-Semitic activities. He wants to make that costly for them.
I have a bill that says that you want to continue to allow anti-Semitism to grow on your campus. You want to continue to let Jewish students be worried about their safety. You are not going to get any federal funding. We've got to do everything we can to help our Jewish community. We've got to do everything we can to help Israel right now.
The House voted 404-14 today to condemn Iran's attack on Israel last Saturday. All of the squad members voted against the resolution. Wall Street mixed after a bit of a roller coaster ride today, ended with the Dow closing 22 points higher, the Nasdaq dropping 81 points, the S&P 500 11 points lower. America is listening to Fox News.
Fraudulent tax returns due identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Their U.S.-based restoration specialists are dedicated to helping solve identity theft issues, and all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which means if you lose money because of identity theft, LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan. Help protect your information with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com and save up to 25% your first year with my name, Clay, as your promo code.
Do you find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the 5 ways to get rid of your timeshare. Call now and get this timeshare information guide absolutely free. Call 800-919-3200. That's 800-919-3200. 800-919-3200.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has 4 foreign military aid packages up for consideration in the House.
One for Israel, one for Ukraine, one for Taiwan, and a combo bill to boost Ukraine and ban TikTok. The House would vote individually, then blend them for the Senate.
The reason for that, frankly, is that I'm concerned Israel may not pass through the Senate right now if it's not included in the package. And if we separate them, then none of our priorities will be reflected, I'm afraid.
Conservatives confronted Johnson on the House floor today in a tense conversation. They are livid there's no provision in the bill for the border. Johnson says that would blow up the bill. He needs Democrats to support the plan. Some progressives oppose the package because it helps Israel.
Fox's Chad Pergram at the Capitol. At this hour, the United Nations Security Council is taking up a resolution that would grant full UN membership to a Palestinian state.
The U.S. could veto because this could lead to recognizing the Palestinian state even without a two-party negotiated treaty.
Fox's Alexis McAdams. The death of a Memphis police officer last week was apparently the result of friendly fire.
The Shelby County District Attorney reveals Memphis police officer Joseph McKinney was likely killed by gunfire from a fellow officer during a shootout with 2 teenage suspects last week, noting an unnamed 17-year-old involved will not be charged with murder, but does face charges including attempted murder and assault. Both suspects were struck by gunfire. The 17-year-old is hospitalized, the 18-year-old killed, and 2 other officers injured. The Memphis Police Association says it was a result of the suspects' decisions to become violent that led to the exchange of gunfire, which led to the tragic loss of life. The DA says should a legal avenue open up for additional prosecution, they'll pursue it. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
And in Washington, I'm Jack Callahan. This is Fox News.
Logan, everyone, let's check weather for East Central Illinois. Champaign and Benin, vicinity, and a pretty quiet start to the day. Next weather system, though, already knocking on the door west of the Illinois. Quick increase in cloud cover here for this morning, and by afternoon, a couple of showers, even a thunderstorm or two. There's a potential, by the way, for areas south of Champaign County, close to I-70, to see a couple strong and severe storms bearing some hail. Highs to about 72 today. Temperatures may drop a bit as those rains move on through. Winds from the northeast to east coming around southerly. Some showers and thunderstorms around first part of tonight, low down to 46. Tomorrow, breezy, much cooler, partly sunny in 58. Bottoming out near 40 for tomorrow night. Weekend forecast, partly cloudy, cool for the day Saturday at 56. Maybe a frost patch Sunday morning. Highs up to 57 later in the day. Then temperatures heading back into the 60s. Much of next week, maybe a shower in here for late Monday into early Tuesday next week. But overall, a drier weather pattern with temperatures close to seasonal norms. Signs of a bigger warm-up slated for the following week. For Stevie J Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solier.
It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Lon out for another baseball game. Hope they get it in. There was rain in the forecast, but the skies look fairly clear right now. I wouldn't say clear, just cloudy, but don't see any rain clouds as far as I can see. I do think your Cubbies, Kyle, tonight.
I think they're in jeopardy for sure.
Expected to get rained out there.
Might get a nice Wrigley doubleheader this weekend.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, right?
No.
Although it's such a slow night in sports tonight.
I know.
I started dabbling back a little bit, and I say that I watched one game, and I wasn't even fully
locked in on it. I watched
that
Bulls playing game last night.
Like, oh, I'm dabbling with the NBA now.
The 9-seeded Bulls having to win 2 games to get the 8-seed to then get swept by the Celtics. What a franchise they got over there.
Who can't get up for that? Two teams below 500, although
it was an electric performance by
Kobe
them.
White, 40?
42.
42. Iwadisumu coming off was it a quad issue?
I think so.
His game time decision, had a really nice performance, double figure scorer.
His year has been fantastic.
The Zach LaVine, I'm not saying he wasn't playing well pre-Zach LaVine injury, but that just expanded his role so much to allow him to have a heck of a year, to your point. I mean, shoot 40% from three, and he's been fantastic.
Yeah, I've always been a bigger LaVine guy than some other Bulls fans have. I feel like he's been underappreciated, but recently it's definitely been a tougher watch with him recently, even before the injury. And then when he did get hurt, I do feel like that was a blessing in disguise for the Bulls because they actually found something in their young backcourt now. This Bulls franchise is going nowhere. Now there's a little bit of hope in that you have a young backcourt both on steals of contracts that they signed last offseason that both took a huge step forward this year, and I don't think either of those guys would have had the roles that they did if LaVine was healthy. So to see Kobe White and Io play like that together, and they complement each other great too. They love playing together. That gives me a little bit of hope for that Bulls team that I've been utterly frustrated about for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I haven't followed it closely enough to really be invested. I will admit that I was wrong on Kobe White. Like, I was firmly
I thought he was just not really becoming anything either.
Yeah, I was firmly in trade Kobe White camp. I thought that I was getting frustrated because there was Io's rookie year where you had injuries both to LaVine and DeRozan, and they were in and out of the lineup. And the games when Io had a chance to play with one of those guys and play more with the ball in his hands as the facilitator, he put up some really good assist numbers. So similar, not going to say it was ever going to be just like Illinois where they run a ton of ball screens and he's going to be the primary initiator of an offense, but some more chances to see the floor and pass and distribute. I felt like that was a good future for him in the NBA. And it just felt like Billy Donovan and the Bulls were kind of force-feeding Kobe White on the ball, and that put Io in the corner a lot, and it just didn't feel like that was his best role to to flourish in the NBA. So as White stayed, as LaVine was around, they signed Javon Carter. I'm like, he's just going to get buried here. Even though the money was probably the best ultimately to go back to Chicago this past offseason, I worried that is this going to be the best opportunity for his future to shine in terms of his game. But I don't hate LaVine by any means. He's an exciting player. But I'm just selfishly rooting for Io to be able to show what he can do. And just feels like with that injury, he's been able to obviously step into a bigger role, and he's thriving in it right now. So
I think you have to move on from LaVine this offseason. Now, I don't know what his market was rough when they were trying to do it earlier this year because of that contract he signed and just the fact that he has had injury problems and he was having a really bad start to the season. But you got to find a way to, I think, move on there. DeRozan's contract expires. I'd be surprised. I guess I could see them bringing him back in like a 2-year contract. He's older and you know, he's not necessarily a part of the future, but he is a guy more so than LaVine that isn't somebody that's going to hamper anyone else's development. He's more of a mentor. He's taken on more of a mentor role to some of these guys, I think. So I wouldn't hate that. But I just think you got to move on with some of this core and give these younger guys the most opportunity possible and actually start to build up some draft capital and bring some more younger guys into the fold. That's the only path forward that would bring me any excitement. The 9 seed the last 2 years is not satisfied anybody. It so shouldn't. just be the 13 seed and let Kobe and Io cook next year. That would be preferable.
That's fair. They will draw the Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat in their next game. And if they lose that, they play the Celtics. Is that right?
No, they have to win it to play the Celtics.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So losers out.
Losers out. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I don't know why I got confused there. All right,
same matchup as last year when the Bulls led with like 3 minutes left and then the Heat found a way to squeak it out and then made the finals.
Yep, fair enough. Shows how much I know about the NBA. I'm way off. I'm like, oh, Embiid's coming back from injury. Why is Trey White in like a thumb cast? Oh, Giannis is out. Like, I've been so off the radar as far as NBA goes. But
I've watched the least NBA I've ever watched this year. Last night's Bulls game was the first one I'd watched in like a month.
No, I would have dated back far longer than that. So, but tonight you can't watch any NBA. There won't be baseball to watch if the Cubs get rained out. I don't know. I guess I got to hang out.
Give us some Illinois transfer news, maybe.
Yeah, here we go. No, give me a night off, please. All right, so let's talk though some NBA, or some Illinois. I'm good on the NBA. Some Illinois basketball as far as the transfer route here. We got some questions to get to, and then also Orlando Antigua. Let's start with Antigua. I think a lot of people want to know about that. Now, there's nothing official. I was going to try to find it. So I've heard this, but it was finally kind of officially reported by the Kentucky site on three, which was Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, talked about interest, and I'd heard this as well, interest for expressed by Orlando Antigua's side to stay at Kentucky. And would Mark Pope with that possibility, because his contract is still ongoing right now. So Chin left, Cal left, whoever the other assistant was left. Orlando is still in Lexington. And let me just read you a snippet of this article here from Kentucky Sports Radio. Matt Jones said, there's a lot of chatter, and I can confirm that Orlando wants to stay, that Orlando, he's still here. He has still been showing up to work at the Kraft Center because he's technically still an assistant coach, unlike a lot of the others who resigned. He hasn't yet. I don't know what Kentucky is going to do there. So it's been put out that there's been some talk that he's expressing interest to stay, that Mark Pope will have to make a call on that. Is there some underlining stuff with as far as, does he fully want to be at Kentucky again, or is he kind of playing this thing out? Because he has a retention bonus, I think June 1st of $400,000. I don't fully know that. I do know that his wife was very, very, very interested in going back to Lexington when he first made that move, that it was very much family inspired. Even though Cal's his guy, and it kind of was an urgency call from Cal to O and say, hey, I'm in a place of turmoil with this program and I need you to come back. But I think because of the just the draw as far as the wife goes and his daughter is going to school there, that Lexington just means a lot to them. So there have been some Twitter, I don't want to call them reports, but because look, there are way too many unnamed Twitter accounts out there right now. They're tweeting stuff with info and or perceived to be info. Nobody has reported anything quite yet as far as Antigua goes, but there's some buzz out there that Pope is not going to keep him, which if he doesn't, or however that doesn't, if it doesn't work out, I think Illinois is the next most logical choice. I would be more surprised if he went to Arkansas at this point than if he came to Illinois, just kind of based on what I know right now. So
there's a family tie to the Lexington area, clearly, and Illinois, your Champaign is far closer than Fayetteville would be, if sure. I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I think just in general, like the pull to Lexington was a big part of going back to Kentucky. There to go with Cal again, there's not that appeal with Fayetteville. Not saying that Arkansas isn't a good program, not saying that they don't have a lot of NIL, which they do, not saying that Cal isn't still very tight with Orlando, which he is, but I think that Champaign would be an opportunity, go back somewhere they're familiar with. Brad has a great relationship with Orlando and vice versa, and I think that from the family standpoint, I think that the opportunity to be close to Chicago, to Indy, to St. Louis, have an ability to, as a family, I know that and his wife would go to Chicago a lot on some off days and be able to explore the city if you want a little bit more of a big city life. So I think that's part of it too. In terms of Illinois, this is going to be unsurprising to everybody. Antigua is Illinois' top choice for this spot. Like I think he's easily number one, the shoot your shot guy, the see if you can get an answer from him. I don't know how long it will take this process to play it out with Kentucky. But as of right now, I think Illinois is playing that thing out from their end. I don't know what is in terms of official, like his dialogue. He's not technically a free agent right now until that has resolution. But I think it's very well known that Illinois is willing to give him a big chunk of change to come back, that the opportunity is there to come back, that there is mutual interest in him coming back. What is really at play here with Kentucky is still, there's some questions surrounding that, but if Mark Pope wants to go in a different direction, wants to just revamp the staff, if I was him, I'd want to keep Orlando. If that is legit, I want to stay and be a coach of Kentucky. My family wants to stay here and I'm willing to stay here. I think Mark Pope would be kind of crazy not to. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm a little biased because I know Orlando personally, but I mean, he's paid like and considered one of the top assistants in college basketball. And I think just having someone to bridge some of that gap too, maybe even bring in some of that class, even though Jerry Jones is going bonkers with the NIL.
Bring Jerry some of that Jones class might in. Be tough to compete
maybe,
with.
Maybe.
If you're doubling that money, I don't know.
Maybe. But that's just where I stand. So I think Illinois is obviously very, very, very involved there, that he'd be just a monster Grand Slam hire to bring him back. But I don't know. I can't say too much beyond that because there are some things that I just simply don't know at this point.
Well, oh, by the way, Illinois has added two more Big Ten titles and an Elite Eight run since Orlando left. They've only gotten more appealing to coaches, to players. Do you think bringing in Orlando would reap immediate benefits for Illinois in this portal cycle?
Yes, I do. He's a guy that's very, very connected. I'm not saying that they would get this player, but the shooter from Dayton, is it Kobe?
Brea. 50% from three on like six attempts a game. Give me him all day.
Yeah, sixth man of the year in the A-10, 6'6", unbelievable shooter. And he's going to be wanted by everybody in America. Like UConn's probably going to go. I think he grew up in New York, East Coast guy, although his parents are both from the Dominican. He actually played on the Dominican junior national team coming up in high school. Orlando Antigua played for the Dominican national team. He has a lot of ties there in the Dominican, the Puerto Rico area. Obviously, Andres Feliz, a former get for him out of the Dominican in terms of descent there. So I think that his name and reputation and connections carry a lot of weight as far as the Latin America basketball world. So I think that he could help you in something like that. He could help you if you wanted to go the Boogie Fland route or try. I think that's going to be a very – I know Louisville is pushing hard there. It seems like Louisville's in on everybody. They're kind of doing the new Arkansas thing. But – and then there will be some names, I believe, whether it's Kentucky, because not Reed Shepard, but there's a big man in the draft right now. Shot blocker type.
Ogana Nyenso.
Yep. Thank God that you know how to say his name. That – he will need to go in the portal if he's going to be on the move in terms of having a chance to go somewhere other than Kentucky in college basketball. He's one of the top shot blockers in college basketball, currently projected as a second-round pick. Didn't put up very much in terms of scoring at all, but just is a ridiculous shot blocker. And if you get O, I could see that being a potential option. And he's just very, very connected and a very good recruiter, great personality. And he'd be a big asset in terms of the portal. I would be shocked if he didn't come here. If he was coming here and wouldn't be able to put a big stamp on Illinois' roster in a hurry.
Let me play the lawn roll and fire another question.
Here we go. Yep.
Let's say Mark Pope has a change of heart and says, Orlando, I want you back.
Mm-hmm.
He ends back up at Kentucky. Who else do you think would make sense for Illinois? Is that something you're not comfortable sharing yet?
Bruce Weber. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. We've heard at Inquirer, I can tell you, Eric Pastrana is someone that Brad has coached with before. He's an assistant at Georgia. Matt Figger is another guy that was the Rio Grande Valley head coach. I don't know currently where he's at right now, but he's someone that Brad has ties to, a previous relationship with. So that's another one that comes to mind. I think beyond that, there were some names in that recent – It doesn't seem as recent now, but when Orlando left and Chin left and Gentry left, number one, I wouldn't think that Gentry would be similar to Orlando. I wouldn't think he would be in that, oh, you could pivot and try to get Gentry back. And that would be a funny thing because when Underwood first got hired here, Gentry was announced on that staff, then went to Gonzaga, then came back to Illinois, then went back to Gonzaga. Hey, maybe a millionth time's a charm. No, I don't see that. Don't see Chin at all. But Adam Cohen is one. He's an assistant at Xavier, was a name that popped up.
Uh-oh, Dante Maddox, you want to reconsider?
Yeah, I don't know that. I think Mike Boynton definitely would have been a name if he wasn't already hired by Michigan. Not saying that there haven't been coaches who have gone somewhere and then changed their mind based on an opening or whatnot. There's definitely
Have they announced him yet officially?
They have, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jeff on the U of I Atlanta League text line says, I've also heard Mike Boynton, currently a Michigan assistant, former Oklahoma State coach, long, long relationship with Brad Underwood. I heard Michigan is having a hard time coming up with assistance money. What's up with Michigan and money, man? I don't know. But you think with all that the football side banks and rolls in, that they will – I don't know. I saw some national reporter, maybe it was Jeff Goodman, tweet out that Michigan has formally announced these additions to the staff and Mike Boynton being one of those. I'll double check on that, though. I'll have to do that. Real quick pivot. We're going to catch a break here soon. Aaron Henry, Illini defensive coordinator, coming up next. But Big Ten related news. I'm sure you've seen this, Kyle. I want to get your thoughts. Chucky Hepburn to the portal. This was somebody that when I was at the Big Ten tournament, especially, that's where I got wind of he had his eyes on going somewhere else and that would likely be in the portal and look out for him. Now, there was talk of that last offseason where for a while there was like, okay, he's probably going to Creighton where he's from Omaha, Nebraska, and that move would be very much unsurprising if not expected. But he didn't ultimately go in. But as far as this year, he is now in the portal, on the move. We'll see where he ends up going. Tom Izzo came out and said, A.J. Hogard, if he comes back to college, he will not be playing at Michigan State. So I offer that up to you.
My
two
goodness.
Notable guards from the Big Ten. Hogard not going back to Michigan State per Izzo. Hepburn likely not going back to Wisconsin as he's in the portal.
Neither one is all that great. I mean, A.J. Hogard was a disaster for Michigan State the last 3 years. Like he's a talented player, and like his skill set would make you think he should be a really good point guard, but he just did not play smart basketball would no show. I just could see Michigan State fans were fed up. I'm surprised that Izzo is taking a firm stance on, like, we don't want you back. We don't want you back. I don't expect that from Izzo because he's ran back the same group every year. But that's probably for the best for them. I'd just go to Europe or something, AJ. I mean, do we need a fifth year of him? I don't know. Hepburn has always been a solid player. He hasn't really developed much offensively, I feel like. He's always been a good defender, but it feels like he came in as a freshman, made an immediate impact, and that's kind of been who he's been for all 3 years. Like, not to say he hasn't gotten at all better, but he's never really, when you're playing Wisconsin, I know he had a great game against Illinois in the Big Ten tournament this year, but playing Wisconsin, I've never really feared him as a guy like, oh boy, you got to deal with Hepburn. I don't know. I'd be interested to see, like, if he went to Creighton, I feel like that'd be a weird fit, because if Creighton has always been to me these past couple of years just a team filled with high offense shooting guards, and I don't know if he would necessarily fit all that well there, but I'd be interested to see if he finds another spot. I don't know. That Wisconsin, I'm curious to see how they look though next year, losing Hepburn and Storr. Is I don't know if they've landed a transfer, have they?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Nothing that has crossed my radar as a big splash for sure. I'd have to look.
We're going
to
do the whole charade over again where Wisconsin loses their two best players, adds a couple average guys, and it's January 23rd and they're 10-5
no,
in conference.
No, I don't think so. This might be, now I've probably called this a number of different times, could this be the start of the end for Greg Gard? I know that's hard to say coming off a year when they were their 5 seed, but not being able to, and maybe they're not gonna blame Gard for it. If they don't have the NIL backing, if they're playing a little bit more of like money ball there at Wisconsin, they've never been huge in terms of chasing stars in the high school ranks, but can they be a big factor in the portal? Maybe they're not going to be, or in terms of NIL, they could probably pass it off as, oh, Storr wanted a big check. Obviously he did. AJ wanted, or Chucky wanted to be able to go get paid somewhere. I don't know. I don't know how much they're going to blame Greg, but it is a wonder as this roster's gone. I mean, they're losing Wall. Yes, they still have Klesman and Crowell, and Blackwell was a nice eval and looks like a good player going forward, but I don't know.
I will say the Chucky transfer thing definitely is one of those examples of how little loyalty there is now, because there was a quote that he had in a press conference that went viral like in late February where he went into this deep answer about, oh, wearing the Badger colors means so much to me, donning this Wisconsin jersey every night. This is so special. I cherish this every day. It was really insightful stuff. Now he's in the portal. So it's just like, anything anyone says anymore, just disregard it.
Yep. I agree with that. I back that up for sure. Last year, Chucky, 9 points per game, 4 assists. Good on-ball defender. Did not shoot the ball all that well last year. 32% from 3 coming off a season before that. Shot 41% from beyond the arc. So he'll have some suitors. Maybe would it be a one, not a trade, but Hogard goes out, Hepburn goes in, East Lansing?
You're telling me Michigan State is going to land a transfer?
They need to, otherwise they're going to stink. All right. We'll continue our discussion. We're going to have all offseason to do this. It's an everyday thing, but we're going to pivot. Spring football, talk to Aaron Henry coming up next, the Illini defensive coordinator. We'll do that. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atah Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Illini fans, this year we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Memorial Stadium for the 2024 Fighting Illini football season. Season tickets for the 2024 football season are on sale now, and Illini fans who renew their season tickets by February 1st are eligible to win amazing prizes, memorabilia, and experiences. Secure your season tickets for homecoming, Dad's Day, and a special rededication of Memorial Stadium on October 19th against Michigan. Visit FightingIllini.com for more information.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local, hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available online at KelseyFurniture.com. That's KelseyFurniture.com.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champaign. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champaign is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampaign.com.
You've heard about the doggy bag, right? From Bulldog Disposal Muhammad, a 6-cubic yard canvas bag that can be used for easy cleanup instead of a big dumpster. The one-time use bag is now available and you can save the delivery charge. Get the doggy bag at Do It Best Hardware in Champaign at 107 West Springfield. So fill up the bag, call Bulldog Disposal, have it disposed of, and you'll be organized. Go to bulldoggybag.com for all the details. That's bulldoggybag.com.
The average American throws away almost 5 pounds of trash per day, half which ends up in a landfill. At 2 Men in a Junk Truck, when we pick up your unwanted furniture, appliances, trash, and office equipment, we make it a priority to divert those items from your local landfill. 2 Men in a Junk Truck, looking for partners that share our vision of environmental responsibility. If you and your organization can reuse, upcycle, recycle some of these items, we would love to work with you. Contact us at 2menandajunktruck.com. We want to make room for what matters most.
Relax, call back, 217-359-7293.
We are celebrating today with an outstanding college relations sergeant. Her name is Sam Penland. You are working, making people safe, helping people, talking to people, and you're giving a positive influence like you received. What do you want people to know finally about police?
I think because people often see me and I appear to look young, they don't realize that I've been in policing since 2004. And so when I came in, policing tactics were very different. There has been a huge shift, and the reason why I really focus on my style now is because I have seen hard policing and what works. And so some people might think, oh, well, you're too soft, or we're not fighting crime the way we used to. We are. This doesn't mean that we're not enforcing laws, but there's a difference now with how we can help people.
Relax. Call back 217-359-7293.
At Pards in Urbana, the boots just keep on coming. They're known for their huge collection of men's cowboy boots, women's cowgirl boots, kids' boots, and even shoes. If you're searching for top footwear brands, look no further than Pards. They carry a wide variety, including Ariat, Dan Post, Smoky Mountain, Roper, Double H, and more. And if socks or accessories are what you need, they've got all your high-quality essentials. Since 1968, Pards has been serving their customers with high-quality merchandise. And if you haven't been to Pards in a while, a lot has changed. Go check them out just off University Avenue in Urbana.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. We are efforting Aaron Henry, Illini defensive coordinator. Talk some spring ball, the spring game coming up this weekend. We'll hope to get him on the line here shortly. In the meantime, Kyle, I did see some news as far as some former Illini on the basketball side. Sincere Harris and Imani Hansberry both visiting West Virginia this upcoming weekend. Little surprise there. Any reaction to that? I do like, we mentioned it before, I don't know that there's going to be any resurgence of Press Virginia, but if you told me that Sincere Harris and like the Bob Huggins style was a marriage, I would say absolutely.
Honestly, I think Imani would kind of fit that too. Yeah, as a kind of small ball, physical, just go bang around, big guy.
For sure.
I like the fit for both those guys. Honestly, I don't know. It's interesting because clearly it felt like Brad Underwood did not really mesh with the type of talent that Chester was bringing into Illinois right now, and that's why he kind of recruited over some of those guys, and he's clearly shifting towards more of an offensive-minded approach, and we know both those guys probably have some limitations. Like, one of those guys, pick your favorite, Chester, and bring one of them. I don't know. Both those guys, it depends. I don't know what else is on the West Virginia roster, but I'd be careful about just bringing every single one of his guys there, because I'm kind of on Brad's side. Like, I like the makeup and the competitiveness, and clearly there you can tell why they're Chester recruits, because they play like Chester did.
Of course.
But too many of those types of guys I just feel like aren't going to mesh all that well together. And it depends what DeVries wants to do there at West Virginia. If he does want to just bring back the Bob Huggins style, I think it would be more of a fit, but I don't know. I would be cautious about just going at Chester Frazier, bring me every one of the guys that you've recruited here, as many as you can, and let's do it.
Yeah, no, that's well said for sure. Looking through the profile here of Drake teams, they've had some good rebounding teams there in the Valley, so I'm sure that as far as Imani goes, and look, I think that from Darian DeVries' standpoint, I don't know, admittedly, like you said, I don't really know West Virginia's roster, but I would want to see what the future looks like for Imani Hansberry, as long as there's not like some obvious conflict of a guy. Maybe you have a five who doesn't shoot and you wonder about Imani playing the four, that whole kind of deal as far as that goes. I think even though I've brought up, and I know it's been a thought over in the, you know, Ubbin complex, and just as the Illini kind of forecast what's forward for them, could Imani and Merez share the court for long stretches of time? How would that work out? Can Imani shoot the three well enough? Can Imani even at the four defend on the perimeter and those type of things? But I'm still high on Imani as a player somewhere. I think he's going to be a good player. You're going to have some known limitations with him in certain areas. If he's going to play the five, you're not going to have rim protection from him, at least. Because he's 6'7", and if he's going to play, although I do think offensively he can bring a lot of ability to stretch it out as a passer, a lot of ability to do some more with the ball in his hands. And if he does shoot it, then great. You're going to have a stretch big that's versatile, and he's going to hit the glass. If he plays the four, you got to have the shooting, and you got to have the ability to defend some four guys that maybe can stretch it out and space you. So I would definitely want to see, though, because you're still talking about someone that was ranked in that top 50, top 60 range, who's only played 1 year of college basketball, played, what, less than 100 minutes last year between injury and just being behind Quincy Guerrier and whatnot. So we did have a text from somebody else. Apologies, I don't have the name in front of me. A 217 said, "I was an Imani guy like Piper, but we will be okay. Haven't heard anyone mention his back issues. Those back spasms linger. Being his size at his position he plays will not help it get any better." He or she said, example, Jared Solinger. That's a good point. I don't know the severity of what he was still dealing with back-wise down the stretch. Like, he gave you some spot minutes there where it looked like he was someone that could help you this season and in the future, obviously.
I know Brad Underwood said in the audio that we'll play here at the end of the show that it was a severe injury. He said something he said was like a pretty serious injury that kept him out. So it probably was a little bit more of a deal than we thought.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, and I do think Brad's overselling some in terms of not the injury, but I remember one of his quotes was, this was a guy that was going to play like 20 minutes a game for us if he wouldn't have had the backs. Like, that wasn't going to happen.
No.
Like, could he have surpassed Dane in the rotation? He could have.
I was calling for it at one
point. A lot of people, yeah. No, and you, I think you were right. You guys, people were on to something as far as that was going at you know, middle of February and pushing forward before Dane had his. It really helped Dane that you had the Iowa game because Iowa played two bigs and it gave him a matchup that allowed him to get out there and show something again. But yeah, I think that it's fair to kind of balance, like, yes, injuries mattered, but still having Quincy there, having Coleman playing big minutes at the five, some spot minutes with Dane. It was always gonna be tough for Imani to find the floor last year. And even though he didn't probably like it, I think he understood it. I thought he understood it going in probably more than DGL did. And
that's what it seemed like. If I had to predict, even in February, if we were on the show and you're like, all right, predict, what is Hansberry going to do? What is Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn going to do? I would have absolutely flipped them. I would have said Hansberry will be back. I could see DGL entering the portal. So I am surprised with that combo based on how it felt like. Like you said, they accepted or didn't accept the role that they were in. I'm surprised that it ended up playing out in the way it did. Now, of course, the Chester Frazier thing is huge.
Right. And if Chester stays, if you negate two of these things, if Chester stays and Illinois doesn't go get Kerry Booth, then I don't have any worries about Imani leaving. If Chester stays and you get Kerry Booth, it would depend on maybe who else you'd go get in the front court, because Illinois would still be interested in going and getting a five at the very least. Chester leaving and not getting carry. Again, we're playing hypotheticals here, but anyways, I think that Imani makes a lot of sense. And Chester, Sincere is probably more, if I was the head coach, I'd have more questions about in terms of how much does shooting matter to me? How much does the balance between offense and defense matter to me? And what is Sincere really desiring for a role?
That's the key. That's what I was going to say is, I, as a coach anywhere, would say I would absolutely love to have Sincere Harris as my seventh man in the rotation.
Right.
Anyone in the country would probably, I mean, maybe not anyone, but I certainly would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to commit to Sincere Harris being a starter for my team next year until I see what he looks like.
Would you care how many tweets and deleted tweets he has?
Maybe we'd have to make a deal, like maybe stay off the Twitter.
Yeah, that's okay. He's a kid. He's still only 20 years old, or he might actually be 21. But
maybe if you're gonna make an announcement, we'll let our, you know, because they have all these creative teams that create like the announcement graphics and everything. Maybe we'll just set you up with those guys instead of have you tweet out some eyeball emojis that you delete 3 minutes later, and then a practice highlight tape with ILL that gets deleted.
Right. No, and he's just been one of those. Even last year, tweets that I'm staying, then he deletes it. I'm just giving Sincere a little bit of a hard time, but that is something that's been going on with him. It will be, and I think that Chester would have a good gauge because they were in practice every day with him. And it's hard to replicate, though, on the scout team, but I will be curious. Probably more so curious than I was, admittedly. I wanted to see what Jaden Epps is doing at Georgetown. Didn't care that much about Sky at Louisville, admittedly. Didn't care that much about RJ Melendez at Georgia. Didn't ever care too much about BBV at South Carolina. And some of these, there weren't reasons to really care all that much. I'll be interested if, say, those two end up at West Virginia, of what they're putting up. Because Illinois definitely, if they maybe promised them a different role. Yes, again, Chester leaving maybe it was the ultimate trump card. Probably was, in general, the ultimate trump card anyway. But maybe Sincere has more offensive game. I don't know. I'm skeptical, admittedly. And maybe Imani, another year of a development, and he's more ready to make an impact. If you had to guess, I think we're both going to go in the same direction here. What's more likely as far as one guy really splashing, becoming like an all-conference player or being a guy you regret? And is there a big gap, in your opinion, between one and the other on that note?
I don't think there's a big gap. I'd probably have more confidence in Amani being the better long-term player because I think there's a higher ceiling there offensively for him. And the fact that he showed that he could stretch it a little bit this year. I mean, he only shot like 13 threes, but he made four of them or whatever, made a couple in the UConn game. You can see that potential there where maybe he does end up becoming kind of a stretch big. That ends up being pretty good if he can make threes, if he can, you know, fine-tune his perimeter game a little bit. I could see him being a pretty good player. Sincere Harris, I always just think will kind of be a specialty player. Like, he could get better offensively, but I don't see him being anything more than a role player. I'd be surprised if he wasn't a role player his entire career, kind of a defensive specialist type.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. He's not going to be Tajay Moore from Houston.
No.
Yeah. He still has only played 1 year in college. He was an older freshman. I think he legit is like 21 years old now. Will be going into his redshirt sophomore year. But I agree with you on Amani. And I think that because of Sincere's athleticism and the way he plays defense and some of the just known limitations for Amani on size and whatnot, shooting, even though he can work on those as far as the shooting goes, that the gap probably isn't all that different. It wouldn't be shocking if Sincere clicks and Amani just is more of a guy that has a little bit more of a limiting ceiling. But I do think offensively, he, like you said, has more to work with. Let's catch one more break here. I want to get to Brad Underwood spoke at the Coaches vs. Cancer event there in Gifford on Tuesday. And he had some good stuff to say as far as the offseason, announced some of the recent additions, Kylan, Trey, Kerry Booth. Let's get you his thoughts and what's next for Illinois in the offseason. We'll do that right after this break. This is The Drive.
Free tomato plants. For over four decades, we've been welcoming spring with free tomato plants from First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana. Everyone is welcome to two free tomato plants at the return of this great First Federal and community tradition for the 42nd year. To get your two free super fantastic variety tomato plants Monday, May 6th, just come into our lobby at either First Federal location, 1311 South Neal Street, Champaign, or 301 West Springfield Avenue, Urbana. While supplies last, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., we look forward to seeing you on May 6th. Member FDIC. An equal housing lender.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars. They're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw, right here in Champaign-Urbana, can switch you over so you can start saving today. Kurt and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. It's easy to switch and save. Just give them a call when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
About the transfer portal, how's things going for you?
Great. I think that we've been very active since the day it opened. I've been very public in saying I don't like the timing of it. But we've had guys on campus. We've done a ton of Zooms. As the portal goes, this is speed dating. So you're developing relationships, diving into things as quickly as possible. And our guys have done a great job, and we feel like we're in a place of addressing our needs, and that's something we're excited about.
You officially talk about any additions yet and what they bring?
Yeah, I think we've gotten a few in. Jake Davis, obviously, from Mercer was the first, a young man that we're really, really excited about. Elite shooter, high IQ, just a great fit. Kylan Boswell, Kylan is a guy that we're re-recruited. Obviously, everybody knows him, a five-star kid that went to Arizona, was a part of Tommy's success there, coming back home. Great player. Trey is a young man that we followed very closely throughout his process. Obviously started at Southern Cal, made a transfer to Louisville, had a great freshman season there, but fits what we're doing. Kind of a multi-dimensional 6'7", do-it-all guy, high IQ. And then the latest one, which I think is out, probably getting me in trouble, Kerry Booth. Kerry was a transfer from Notre Dame, 6'11". Very, very excited about him as a guy that can play multiple positions, really, 3-4-5 on the perimeter. He's got great, great size and length and athleticism. He can really shoot it, can really run. So we feel good about this group, and we'll continue to, keep diving into the portal.
You know, those guys have multiple years of eligibility. What kind of went into that part of the process for you when you were looking for guys this offseason?
Not as much as you think in terms of, we stressed getting old. Now it was just about acquiring talent and experience. Knowing it's a little more difficult to find older grads. Some of those will continue to happen late, but we'll stay in the hunt for some of those guys. But now it was just more about continuing to build a roster that fits what we're trying to do.
Kylan turns 19 this week. How much more does he have left to show in terms of his progression and how he fits?
I think his best basketball is in front of him. The young man that came out of high school, went to college early, has I think the opportunity to really gain with Adam Fletcher in the strength and conditioning area. He's an elite defender. Here's a kid who shot 40% from the three-point line. And I'm excited about him and our style and our system. I think he can really flourish. So he's young in age, but he's very experienced and very mature from a game minutes point of view.
Something you said, I think it was late February, March, but you noted like all the teams you brought in, 6, 7, 8 transfers, most of them weren't NCAA tournament teams. You're not that number yet, but do you have some level of trepidation?
No, Alabama did okay. I think we're going to continue to see this trend. I think it's getting more and more challenging with freshmen. But it's to each their own, I guess. And I think you got to fill a roster. And kids got to want to compete, and they got to want to challenge themselves. We're in a great spot. We've got great facilities. We've got great success that we're following up with. And kids want to be a part of that. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I love the group we've got coming back, and we're going to lean on them heavy, and they've got to blend with the new guys.
How did the success you had this season kind of inform how you approach this offseason?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, I think what we did offensively, being 1, 2, or 3 almost all year offensively, I think the game has shifted to the offensive side a lot. I think UConn, Alabama, us, Purdue were the top four teams offensively. Knowing how we wanted to go out and find guys that fit that style, fit the way we played with five out, was important. Having success, the 29 wins, the Elite Eight, that's all a bonus. But I think it's about selling kids on a style of play that suits them and allows them to be successful.
I would assume, Brad, you and your staff are being even more picky about freshmen than you look for. High school kids that you even look at now, is that the reality now?
Very much.
Do you think that'll flip?
No, I think it's very much a reality. I think that there's... I think there's always going to be your superstars that get recruited and play, but I think really other than the guard at UConn, who really played as a freshman substantial minutes on any of the Elite Eight teams? There weren't very many. It's hard to find freshmen that truly impact winning. They can play, but impact winning. And then they can go and get experience at a lower level and move up a couple years later, and that's a trend that we're all seeing. Whether we like it or not, it's the reality of it.
Is the Jake Davis path for a freshman more likely now at this point? Go to immerse or prove yourself and maybe you'll get to that level?
I think so. I think that's what you're going to see is – kid may get under-recruited, a kid may not be seen, and or a kid may step into a situation where he's very successful, and now, boom, he blows up, and here he is. And so there's a lot of various reasons for kids like him, but he's a great fit for us.
What can you say about Chester's status with you?
Yeah, Chester's no longer with us. He's going to West Virginia. We thank Chester for his just undying loyalty, his dedication. Nobody bled orange and blue more than him. He's a guy that is lived it. I'm excited for him. He came here and wanted to win championships because he didn't as a player, and he came away with two. So I'm excited. His path as associate head coach is the next step, and excited. It puts him back in a vicinity where his name recognition will really, I think, pay off for him and his desire to become a head coach. But he was fantastic, and wish him nothing but the best.
Imagine this is a pretty desirable position. What are you looking for?
I haven't thought about it, to be very honest. I shouldn't say I haven't thought about it. It's crossed my mind, but this is a great spot. And success has been pretty high the last 5 years, and we've got to find the right fit. We've got to find the guy that understands what we're doing and who we are, and we'll find that.
What's it kind of a tradition here, Mr. Basketball Award winner playing for the university? What's that mean to have?
It's special. Yeah, it's special. Mraz is terrific. It had a great season. He's continuing to get better. He was fun to watch his development throughout his high school career. He committed so early, and I'm excited for this season. But it'll be great for those guys to get in front of those guys, be able to talk, be able to, for people to find out how good a character they have. So I'm happy for them.
That was Brad Underwood from Tuesday night at the Coaches vs. Cancer event. Sorry it was hard to hear some of the questions. It was loud in there, but wanted to get you Brad's responses, which were definitely worthwhile as far as the offseason and different things he tackled and what they want to do going forward. We are out of time. We weren't able to get to Aaron Henry today. Hopefully we were in contact with him tomorrow or early next week, talking either up to the spring game or about the spring game afterwards. So everybody have a great night. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. We're out. This is The Drive.